Turn to the Bible says,
a woman free.
Come on up, everyone.
I know you know it.
Well,
we'll have a quartet.
I'm going to this time.
Okay.
I've heard people talk about heaven and cry this beauty so rare. So one day I'll purchase a title to mansion in that land so fair. It was given to me without money, but it cost my dear Savior his life. He died on the cross just to save me, for he paid a great price. Now I hold a great title to a mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare. Far cannot touch it, blood cannot harm it, and never will need a repair. The termites can't mar its foundation, for the rock of ages it stands. I feel that it's almost completed and ready for me to move in. My deeds were both signed and recorded the day Jesus saved me from sin. My name was engraved in gold letters in the Lamb's Book of Life saved within. I'm an heir to a mansion in glory when the promised rock of ages I roam. I'm waiting for Jesus to call me. I'll lay down my cross and go home. Oh, I hold a clear title to the mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare. Far cannot touch it, floods cannot harm it, and it never will need a repair. Oh, the termites can't mar its foundation, for on the rock of ages it stands. I feel like it's almost completed and ready for me to move in.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Very timely song. And I wish I could sing. I got a song in my heart as far as I can get it. Amen. I sure appreciate those that do. I love good singing. I thought we had a excellent service last Sunday night, and praise the Lord. I do. I like spiritual songs, making melody in my heart. Lots of time out there at work, I'll be humming that song. Gave us always a question in the shadow of the cross, and that song gets to working in me. I like it. Amen. I had never even heard it till she requested over one night, and we ended up trying to sing it, and boy, I like that song. All right, open up your Bibles tonight, two places. We'll start. It won't take too long to get this first place. I'm actually going to be preaching tonight out of Luke chapter number 10. You don't actually have to go to this first place if you just want to. But I'm going to read some scripture out of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. But I'm going to be preaching tonight actually out of Luke chapter number 10. Quit laughing, Molly. I'm serious. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul here admonishing the church in Thessalonica. Admonishing the church in Thessalonica. Thank you, Brother James. And as he's addressing this church, he says in verse 1, furthermore. In other words, he's going on in his discourse. He said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. For you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of conspicuous. Somebody say that. Yeah. Not in the lust of concupiscence, whatever that word is. My pastor said that word means illicit desires. I can't even say it. I'm glad I don't even know what it means. But anyway, he's talking about how to possess your vessel, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who have given unto us His Holy Spirit. And here's our text verse tonight. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And I want to take that verse tonight, and I want to try to preach tonight on taught to love. And we want to turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm kind of glad I got past that one word. But Luke chapter number 10. We'll read this. I'm still going to preach expository tonight, which means expound upon the verses. But we'll read this as a whole so you'll have an idea of what I'm expounding upon. It's starting in verse 25 of Luke chapter number 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Now this is a self-righteous man, and he buttered the bread pretty good right there. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, I want to stop just a second right there. What Jesus said is all God's ever asked us to do is love one another. That's all He's ever asked us to do. Verse 29, this self-righteous man went one step too far, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And our parable here tonight is what we're going to be preaching about tonight on taught to love one another. God here in this parable gives the greatest lesson of love that I know that we could accommodate. And right here it is. Jesus answering about who is my neighbor. And he said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil. Let me read this right. Pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I'll stop our reading right there and we'll go to God in prayer. Father, we pray, dear Father, tonight to be able to have words for this message tonight. Lord, if it be possible, I'd like to have some tears to water that word. Lord, you're the one that showed the world love. Your word says you so loved the world that you gave the only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we still don't understand the love of God. Lord, help us, dear Father, tonight. Give us, I pray, illustrative abilities. Give us, Lord, I pray, a tongue to declare the love of God tonight. And Father, I don't know the needs that are here, dear Father, tonight. I know I've been longing to preach this message. And Lord, it seemed like, Lord, it's been an eternity. But I thank you, Father, to have an opportunity to deliver this message, dear Father, tonight to your children. Help us to receive it as the Word of God. Help us to lay it to our heart and do our best, Lord, I pray, to pattern our lives according to this message that we might be pleasing unto you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Taught to love. You know, I was growing up, I was a handful. My mama used to get a hold of me and she used to clear me up on some things. She said, that's not yours. I thought it was. She said, that's his. Give it back to him. Or that's hers. Give it back to her. And I didn't want to and pouted and stuck my lip out. But my mother was teaching me what it means to love someone. The Bible said, love worketh no ill to his brother. Love's a wonderful thing. Just imagine for a minute that you couldn't love. Just imagine for a minute you didn't have the emotion of love. You didn't know what it meant to love. And you couldn't have the tears like Brother Vernon had this morning, that when you can't hold them back, it's like love pours out of you. It's like the well gets so full it overflows. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing Jesus did. He came down here and showed this world love. Amen. Sure. Molly, he came down here, walked among sinners, took all of the reproach, never rebuked very often. There was a few times he did. One reason he did was for the sake of souls. But I'll tell you what, he in love, boy, he walked down here among lost humanity. I can only imagine what it'd be like to step down from heaven's glory, to condescend down to the sin-cursed earth, walk among humanity. I mean, I've never been to New York. I've never been to Chicago. I have been to Ohio. I have been to Indiana. I've been a few places. Anthony, he's been everywhere. But I'm sure you've seen some things that you didn't see around here. And it kind of caught you off guard. And you thought in your heart, I wonder why somebody do something like that. Has a whole lot to do with your raising. I was taught to love people. I was taught to help people. And I do believe God tries to teach us to love one another. And I don't know if we ever graduate from the class, but I'll tell you right now, all God's ever asked us to do is love one another. It must be the hardest thing in the world. And I'm going to challenge your love tonight and hope and pray by the help of the preaching of the Word of God that we can examine ourselves tonight and see where we measure up concerning love. The Bible talks about charity, which is love. It says it suffereth long. That means it goes beyond the normal. It's not puffed up. You can approach love and you don't have to have armor on. You can approach love. And I tell you what, you don't have to worry about getting hurt Love is something Hollywood tries to portray it, but in their portray, they miss it all. If you want to see love, take a look at Jesus. That's the best portrayal of love I know. That He came down here and allowed people to misuse Him and say all manner of evil and all kind of contradiction and sinners against Himself. And yet He still loved them. They sent a man to arrest Him, Emmeline, a centurion soldier. They told him, go arrest Jesus, and he come back without Him. And they said, why didn't you bring Him? He said, never a man speak like that, man. I got a feeling he spoke to that centurion soldier in words of love, that he got more arrested than the one he went to arrest. Amen.
Yeah.
Boy, that kind of love. It's hard to argue with that kind of love. When me and my wife first got married, Brother Vernon, I wanted everything my way, and them tears would swell up in her eyes, and I was whooped. I mean, boy, let one tear fall. Honey, I'm sorry. What you say you want me to do? I'm ready. We've got to learn to love. God's been trying to teach us to love. I don't know. It must be the hardest class in the world. I don't think anybody's done too good. I don't believe our grades are all that high. I don't think our academic scores are out of the portion. I believe they're all running about like my school grades were, a D or F or something like that. I mean, the only reason they passed me, they didn't want to see me another year. But God's trying to teach us to love. And when we start loving like God loves, I'll tell you what, buddy, we've got to have some eyes saved. Because I found out I look upon people and I think they ought to be like me. And I told my son one day, Brother Vernon, I said, son, everybody's not going to be you. And you're going to have to learn to accept people and try to understand. You don't want everybody to be just like you. If everybody was just like you, you wouldn't love them. You'd hate them. Because I'll tell you what, everybody's unique. Oh, I think it was Ray Stevens wrote that song. I'll remember his name. Forgot the song. Everything is beautiful in its own way. Like a starry summer night or a snow-filled winter day. I don't know exactly how the words is, but Ray Stevens said, if you'll just stop and look at things as they really are, instead of like you want to see them, you'll see there's something there beyond what your eye can see. And if you look through the right eyes, you'll see better one way or another, there's love manifesting. Can you imagine if God decided you didn't deserve a tomorrow? Can you imagine if God decided that you was going to pay for your sins? Can you imagine if God made a demand upon you like He did Job? In Job chapter 41, Job shut his mouth. And I would and you would too. God showed up in a whirlwind. He made a demand of Job. Job said, I'll tell you what, he shut the door in his mouth. He said, not another word. I can't remember exactly how that's worded there, buddy. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, God doesn't make no demands. God, I'll tell you what, He shows mercy.
Yeah.
But God teaches us to love. In this parable, what a parable. I mean, it's a parable. What that means is, the Lord took this story to teach a lesson, and Gayla, He's teaching a lesson in love. Oh, there's so much territory here. I don't know which tree to bark up. You know, in the marriage, the first not good mentioned in the Bible, God looked down and saw a man that He just created, and God said it's not good for man to be alone. First not good. And the first gift God ever gave man was a helpmate. A helpmate. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes, woe unto him that's alone when he falleth, for he have not another to help him up. It says two are better than one, and the threefold cord is not easily broken. But the marriage is a consummation of love. It's a merger. It's when two become one. They're twice better off. They're able to help one another. They're able to pray together. They're able to work together. They're able to do things. That's one aspect of love. Another love is a mother's love for her children. She don't need no one to teach her to love those children.
I believe a mother's love is the closest thing to God's love. Good Lord, I was the only child. Can you imagine? But my mama, I'm just going to guess, when she held me in her arms and looked down and saw that tow-headed little boy, I don't know how in the world she loved me, but she did. And I'll tell you, boy, you look down in little eyes and they look up at you and there's a bond. The Bible talked about Moses said that Pharaoh's daughter had him pulled up out of the water and the baby cried and her heart was immediately moved towards the well-being of that little Hebrew boy named Moses.
Yeah.
And there Marion was just having me close by. She said, "Want me to go get you someone to nurse him for you?" And end up going back to his mother. She raised him at the expense of Pharaoh. But a mother's love, Solomon talked about when he first come into office, when he first took his place on the throne, there was a controversy. He'd already asked God for wisdom. And boy, you got to have wisdom in this kind of matter. But two women claimed one little boy. And Solomon said, "Give me a sword." And they went and got him a sword. He said, "Divide him in half. Give one half to one, one half to the other." And the one that was the true mother said, "Don't kill it, give it to her." He said, "That's the mother."
Yeah.
Now, the other one said, "Kill it." Now, the mothers love children no matter what. I've seen some that only a mother could love. But in this parable, and it's a tremendous parable, in this parable, Satan delivered his deadly blow to this man, this certain man that journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he didn't just deliver a deadly blow, but he left him half dead. You notice that? Said leaving him half dead. And the Bible said Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. And in this verse right here, this is kind of how it goes. I'm telling you, buddy, he'll strip you of anything you got. He'll wound you. And he'll leave you. And he'll leave you half dead.
Amen.
But the Lord will do just the opposite. He'll take you half dead. Man, I'll tell you what, buddy. He'll clothe you. And he'll never leave you. And he'll heal you. And he'll bless you. But in this parable right here, Satan has delivered his deadly blow. And that's all the devil does. The Bible said he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants you to be hurting. Satan wants you to be broken. Satan wants you to be down and out. Satan wants you to give up. Throw in the towel, say, "I've had enough." But in this parable here, it says, "And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." That's actually a good thing. Because if religion could have helped this man, it would have been good if religion had stopped. But had religion stopped, there would have been a good chance that this man could have been made a twofold child of hell than himself. Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. It's kind of good that religion didn't care enough about him to even invest in him. When I say care enough about him, there's some people, they don't care about your soul.
Amen.
They just care about this right here. The recognition that they were able to get you to come, that they were able to get you to believe, that they were able to get you. I don't know, I heard this on the radio. I listened to King of Kings radio. And upon hearing what I heard, Gayla, I thought I'd go on the internet and see whether, you know, I was talking about it, they checked out whether these things were so or not. I was going to check it out, see if it's so. But they said that they're killing Christians over in these third world countries, these Muslims are,
yeah.
And they're giving them this option: convert to Islam or die. I know this is being recorded, but I'm not worried about consequences telling what I'm telling you. The Bible talks about preachers, some of them dumb dogs won't bark. I don't mind barking. But I'll tell you, I said I'd check that out. So I went on the internet. I ain't too savvy on a computer, but I was trying to type in convert to Islam. And I was trying to figure out how to spell Islam, but when I typed in convert to it, filled it in for me. Convert to Islam or die. And I clicked on it. And what I read and what I saw was a horror. They're killing Christian, young Christians, 10 years old. They'll take a 10-year-old young girl to make sure she don't make it to heaven. They'll rape her. And then they'll take her out and they'll hang her. The only option she's got is to deny Christianity. I don't know that they'll let her live. But they say convert to Islam or die. And I'm not talking about one isolated case. It's continual. They're continually doing this to Christians over there. One woman, when they brought her out there to the hangman's noose, she kissed it and she turned around and said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Put the noose around her head. They saw something they wasn't used to seeing, but they're so calloused in their heart, so blinded in their minds. The Bible talks about the God of this world blinds the minds of many, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. They're so blinded to love. All they know is their way. And their way is not God's way. Jesus didn't come to kill. Jesus came to rescue. He came to heal. He came to save. Amen. I couldn't believe. I wouldn't even recommend you go to that site. It really messed with me when I saw all of the things falling upon young women, young men, how they were treated just because they bear the name of Christ. Oh, me. Horror. Religion passed by, and that's a good thing. But then the law showed up. You see, only a Levite could handle the law. And here's a Levite. He represents the law. The priest represents religion. And when the Levite come to where he was, he looked on him and he passed by on the other side. At least he did look on him. But you know the law. If righteousness, the Bible said, comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I can't keep the law. You can't keep the law. No one could keep the law but Jesus. And He kept it to the T. If He broke one of those commandments, Molly, He was no sacrifice. When John saw Jesus, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." When Pilate saw Jesus, Pilate said, "I find no fault in this just man." Because there wasn't one to find. And after they beat him beyond recognition, Pilate brought him out again. Said, "Behold the man." What a man! A man like that. That's why that centurion couldn't arrest him. Himmeline, he'd never seen it like that. There was something different about Jesus, and that difference could not be hid. But I'm glad that religion passed this man by, Anthony. I'm glad that the law passed this man by. But hallelujah, then grace showed up.
Amen.
Woo! I'm glad there's such a thing as grace.
Amen.
I may not deserve it, but thank God God gives it. Amen. Some woman went to a photographer to get her picture made, and she was full of herself. Photographer wasn't having a good day. And she's getting there, getting ready to get her picture made. Before he took her picture, she said, "Hold on a minute." She said, "Are you sure that camera do me justice?" He pulled that thing out. He said, "Ma'am, you don't need justice. You need mercy." Thank God for grace. Amen. I'll tell you what, boy. If I got what I deserved, y'all could hear me scream from hell, even right here. And I'm surprised we can't hear the people in hell right now screaming. But I'll tell you what, you got to trespass the grace of God to get there. And some people are so determined. Some people, I don't know if they got road rage or what, but no matter what, buddy, they're on that dead end street that ends at hell, and they just will not get off of it. Running 1,000,000 miles an hour. I met a truck this morning after leaving the service this morning. We met in a curve, and I didn't know how the outcome was going to be, but I was glad I was in a little car and he made it by. But grace showed up. The Bible said in Jude, verse 22, "And of some, having compassion, making a difference, grace showed up, and grace went to him," verse 34. I'm glad, praise God, grace showed up in my life. Grace went to me, amen. I mean, buddy, I was in my field. I was in my sin. And I don't like to brag about sin. But I'll tell you right now, God had every right to say, Eddie, if you'd come to me when you was younger, I'd have forgave you. But here you are. You done continued down that path of sin. And it just ain't worth cleaning up. Woman had 10 children. Lived next to railroad tracks. And they was working on the road. By the railroad tracks, she told the kids, y'all go outside and play, but don't go down there by the railroad tracks. I don't want you to get that tar on you. And one of them, about like me, wouldn't listen, went down there and come back up, covered head to toe with tar. And Molly, she's down there trying to kill it, trying to clean that little boy up. Probably was wanting to kill it. Trying to clean that little boy up, and she stopped and she said, it'd be easier to have another than to clean you up. That's what God should have said about me. It'd be easier to have another than to clean you up. We just don't realize how much grace God has to you and me. We underestimate God's love towards us. The Bible said herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be perpetuation of our sins. I mean, God loves different than you and I do. I love those that love me. God loves those that hate Him.
Right.
What's a love I can't understand? I wished I had it.
Yeah.
I really do. I wished I could love like God does. I wished I could go through this world and be unbiased in my opinions and learn to love.
Yeah. Amen.
I wished I could go through a community and they could say one thing about Eddie Wade. They'll tell you one thing, he loves people. Well, I wish they could put up on my tombstone, he loved to the end. Love. I don't know why we have such difficulty with it. But at an early age, we fight over this, we fight over that. Our words get sharper. They get where they cut deeper. And we let them fly faster. But grace showed up. And grace went to him. I can just see this guy laying there thinking he's going to pass just like the last one. Somebody said, Brother Eddie, better stop picking him hitchhikers up. I'll spit it out in a minute. You better stop picking them hitchhikers up. One of these days you're going to pick one up and it's going to go bad. It probably will, but I'm not going to stop picking them up. Worst, I guess, I ever got involved, Brother Vernon. I was coming up here on a Wednesday. I think it was a Wednesday night. Might have been Sunday. I think it was a Wednesday night. And I got right there at the Edmonton exit on the Cumberland Parkway and someone had their thumb stuck out and they had an army jacket on. And I pulled over there, and when I pulled over there, I realized it was a woman, it wasn't a man. And I'll tell you right now, I had second thoughts. And I ended up picking that young girl up. I told her, I said, listen, I'm a Baptist preacher, I'm going to church. And I said, I'll make a deal with you if you'll go to church with me. She lived in Somerset, she's trying to hitchhike from Georgia to Somerset. I said, if you'll go to church with me tonight, I'll take you on up there to Somerset. And she went to church with me. Y'all remember me bringing that woman up here? It did bother me, though. I probably wouldn't have pulled over if I noticed a woman. But I couldn't tell it. She had on an army jacket and she had a thumb stuck out and I pulled right in there. And sure enough, just as soon as she got in the car, I said, I just want you to know I'm a Baptist preacher. Let's get it clear. Amen. So I think she was about as scared as I was. And I don't really blame her. In this day and hour we're living in, I'm telling you, buddy, that grace showed up and grace went to him. Here's a good thing. No questions asked. There wasn't none of this. Didn't you know no better than go down this road? Didn't you know nothing's on this road but thieves and robbers? No belittling condemnation. No questions asked. You remember that thief hanging on that cross? When he finally had enough sense to say, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom? No questions asked. He just said today, you'll be of me. No questions. No rocks thrown.
Amen.
No ball bats brought out. Just you'll be of me today in paradise.
Yeah.
Whew, God will love. God's got. It's in a category we can't, I don't know. We can't go there, but how we need to be that way.
Right.
How love like that. No questions asked. A young girl, my pastor told this story one time, that a young girl took a gun and shot herself. And as she lay there dying, people gathered around her like they do at accidents and stuff. You know, look, see how bad it is. She's laying there in a pool of blood and she's dying. An old white-headed preacher has seen all the people gathered up, and he come over there and he made his way through there and he saw that young girl laying there bleeding, and his heart was broke, Brother Vernon. And he said, "Honey, what'd you do it for, honey? What'd you do it for?" And she looked up and she said, "Preacher, nobody loved me." He said, "Honey, surely your mother loved you." She said, "Preacher, she never showed it." That's hard. Mother don't show no love, but it does happen. I can tell you, I work with some women, and they don't even want to tell you the mother's name because their mother's run off with somebody. They don't really, they're not too proud of the mother. I talk with one of the girls I work with, and she don't even want nothing to do with her mother. She don't even want to tell her mother she's getting ready to have a baby. It's sad, but that little girl, she said she never showed no love to me. And that preacher said, "Honey, surely your father loved you." She said, "Preacher, he never showed it." He said, "Surely your brothers and sisters loved you." She said, "Preacher, they never showed it." He said, "Honey, I love you." She said, "You never showed it." God help a preacher that can't show someone love, because God's ministry is a ministry of love. But the light finally came on, and he said, "Honey, Jesus loves you." And she had to shut her mouth. She couldn't say he never showed it. Brother Alvis, no one's going to tell Jesus he never showed him love. Those that take his name in vain and blame him for everything, he loves them. The Bible said he's kind to the unthankful, calls it to rain upon the just, upon the unjust. What a loving God. Oh me, no questions asked. That young girl, I'll tell you, buddy, she was just looking in the wrong direction. You know people do that today. They look to Hollywood for guidance. They look to others for guidance. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. It's not too hard to find a hypocrite to run down. It's not too hard to find, you know, someone, you know, that's struggling, you know, to use for a subject matter. And I'll tell you what, you look unto Jesus, you realize, buddy, you ain't got no ground to stand on. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'll tell you what, buddy, He came to this world to save sinners, and every sinner looks in His direction. You know that time Jesus, I think it was Peter, denied Him three times, and the Bible said Jesus turned and looked upon him, and their eyes met, and Peter went and wept bitterly because he saw love looking. He betrayed love. Judas said, "I betrayed the innocent blood." But he repented to the wrong ones. And the wrong ones said, "See thou to that. What's that to us? We don't care about you." If he'd repented to the one that loved, he might have got a better reaction to that. But he went to him. The Bible said he bound up his wounds. He put him in the inn. He put some money down. Verse 35. I mentioned a little bit this morning about medical expenses. It's fixing to go up. As a matter of fact, I'll just tell you, as your brother, it's going to go up where you can't afford it, I can't afford it, and no one can afford it, because they want to enslave you through it. They know you got to have gasoline. We're enslaved. I put gas in my car this morning on the way up here. You know why I did it? Because I had to. Medication, they know you got to have it. So they can charge whatever they want. Who's going to stop them? The government's in there with them. I'm just telling you before it happens. But no payment plan. The Good Samaritan didn't say, "How are you going to pay me back? How long is it going to take you to pay me back?" He just put the money down and said, "Take care of it." That's love. He said, "If he owes any more, when I come back, I'll pay it." That's love. That's beyond the kind of love that you and I are used to. This is a kind of love that knows no bounds. It's the kind of love that will make you poor and yet rich. It's the kind of love It'll cause you to remember a verse in the Bible where Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me." He said, "I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me." He said, "I was a stranger and you took me in." That's the kind of love. It'll break you, but it'll make you rich. It'll cause you to just want to just take your billfold out and say, "Let me know if you need any more." That's what God did. This is just a billfold, ain't got a whole lot in it. But God took heaven and said, "I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you because I love you. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you through my Son. He'll give His all so you can have it." That kind of love, we don't have a school down here that can teach that kind of love. I wish we had some young people here tonight because they need to be taught about this kind of love. They don't need this old superficial love that you love me, I love you, and that's enough. They need the kind of love that goes beyond the norm, that people start looking and they say there's something different about that person. They've got a love that I need in my whole life. Amen. That kind of love. Oh, how we need that kind of love. How we need to learn. We're taught of God to love one another. To love. Yeah. Bible is a book about the love of God to man. God teaches us. And I guess we're going to be continually taught till He comes for us. And then we're going to understand love. When we look upon Him and we see His eyes but I'm helping. And we see the eyes of love, and all of a sudden then we realize how greatly we failed to love. The Bible says, "Having therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men." It said, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." It's not always possible, but if it be possible, have some peace about you to be able to say, "It's not that big a deal. I'm not going to make it a big deal. It's not going to go no further." Just going to nip it in the bud right there. I've been wrong before. But I'd be really wrong if I took my gun, loaded up, went over and shot somebody 5 times. That's just 2 wrongs. Whew. I made a lot of mistakes. But I learned from them. Yeah. Somebody said if you learn from them, they're lessons. About everything I learned the hard way. But one thing I've learned, God loves me. He's teaching me to love others. I'm still learning, but I'll tell you what, buddy, I've made some headway. I've learned to love people. I've learned to look over some of their ways. I've learned to let words go in one ear and out the other ear. I've learned not to be critical. I've learned not to judge. I've learned how to be long-suffering and patient. I've learned how to, I'll tell you what, just bite my lip. Get down on my knees and pray and say, "Lord, bless them. Lord, help them. Help them to know I love them. Help them to know I'm praying for them." My daddy, callous in his heart, hard-hearted. You couldn't talk to him about God for nothing. I got down, Brother Melvin, and I started fasting and praying for my dad. If you really love someone, and I did really love him, I got down, boy, and I got to fast. I lost 40 pounds. You want to lose some weight? I'll tell you how. I'll lose it just like that. Didn't take no time. I looked like one of them refugees out of a concentration camp. My eyes something back in my head. I wasn't nothing but a scarecrow. But I couldn't let up. And I'm down there and I'm fasting. I'm not doing anything but fasting and praying. And I got a little impatient, Brother Melvin. And I said, "Lord, I want my dad to get saved." I said, "Lord, I don't want him to be able to eat or sleep till he gets saved." My father called me, Brother Alvis. He said, "You praying for me?" I said, "Yeah, Daddy." He said, "I want you to quit." I said, "Why, Daddy?" He said, "I can't eat and I can't sleep." I'm glad we're on the phone. I'm glad he couldn't see that smile on my face. I'm kind of glad for that. But I said, "Daddy, let me ask you something, Daddy." I said, "Daddy, if it's the other way around, you're saved and you're going to heaven. I was lost, going to hell. And I asked, you quit praying for me. I said, Daddy, would you quit praying for me? And Sister Margaret, for the first time in my life, age of 34 years old, I heard my father weep for the first time. He was just too big to do it. But I heard him weep, and through a lamentable voice, I heard him on the other end of that phone crying out, no, but take it easy on me. I ain't ready yet. 10 years later, 3 o'clock in the morning, he called me, Brother Vernon. He said, son, I just got saved. It was worthy. You know, the Bible said the preparation of hearts of the Lord. It took God a while, but he got my daddy's heart ready to receive. Woo! To receive the gospel. Amen. It was more his doings than it was mine. But I'll tell you one thing, I did stand in the gap. I did make intercession. And you ask me, and I'll stand in the gap for whoever you ask. I'll pray and intercede on their behalf too. But I'll tell you what, only God can do something about it. But I'm glad God got to working on my dad. And there ain't no way to outrun God. No matter where you ran, He's there. No matter where you hide, He's there. And I'll tell you what, my dad couldn't find no hiding place. And finally, a white flag went up. I surrender all. I like that invitational song. I surrender all. When you can surrender all, you'll find out He's that kind of God that'll come and say, I'll take it from here. When you're willing to give up, I heard a message on the way over here, some guy preached, are you ready to give up? He's fighting. Masson is called to preach. He'd been called to preach, and he was fighting tooth and nail. He wasn't about to do it. And a guy got up and preached, are you ready to give up? And he said, nobody knowed him. I was getting all this whooping there was. And when he gave invitation, he said, I lit the carpet on fire, got to the altar, and said, I surrender. I've been called to preach. I'm ready to give it up. I'm quitting fighting. I'll tell you, one of the worst fights you'll ever get in is fighting against love. Make no mistake about it, God loves you. He's not going to let up. It's not going to get no easier. It's not going to go away. Make up your mind. God loves you. He loves you so much. He's not willing that any perish.
That's right.
He understands more by this situation than you and I. One woman, we went out to visit at the hospital. I guess she committed that unpardonable sin. I don't know. In her mind, she thought she did. We went out there to have prayer with her. She said, it won't do no good having no prayer with me. I said, why is that? She said, I told God as a teenager, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. She said, He ain't spoke to me since. I had a young man come to me at work at Donnelly's. His name is Richard Wheeler. Nobody's in the break room but me. And he come in there and sit down across the table in front of me. I'm sitting there reading my Bible. And he said, Eddie, he said, I've been going to Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church for quite some time, my family. He said, God's been dealing with me. God's been striving with me to get saved. And he said, I've not done it. And he said, now God don't deal with me no more. What do you think about that? And I told him, I said, Richard, God's done showed you He cares about you, so won't you show Him you care? Won't you start drawing nigh to God so He can draw nigh to you? He started seeking the Lord. He got saved. He's talking about an eclipse. He's talking about a different boy. Richard, he's roughing the cob, but he polished up pretty good. Amen?
Amen.
Still serving the Lord. I'll tell you what, boy, you can make some mistakes. That woman said, I told God, leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. She said He hadn't spoke to me since. That may have just been in her mind. I don't know. But we did pray for her. And far as I know, she died lost. But in this parable of love, He went to him, bound up his wounds, put him up in the inn, put money down. Also, He promised continual care. In this parable, the love of God is manifested. In this parable, it's summed up in verse 37. Go and do thou likewise. That's what we've got to do. We've got to learn to do what this parable says to do. We've got to learn to go beyond the bounds of norm and go in the boundaries of the love of God. And let me say about the love of God, it knows no boundaries. The love of God goes beyond the norm. It goes over there where it's needed. Amen. The love of God.
Amen.
How we need to learn how to love. We're taught of God to love one another. I told y'all this morning about that young girl, 13 years old. They bullied her through cyberspace, Facebook, and texting. And they bullied her to the point that she climbed up on a tower and jumped off to her death. When she jumped off to her death, they was having a family lesson, whatever, on bullying, trying to teach children not to bully one another. You know why we're having all this trouble in these schools? Well, they threw the Prince of Peace out. They threw the Bible out. They threw prayer out. They threw the Ten Commandments out. So I guess anything goes but Jesus now. So now, I guess the devil's got full court in their schools. And they're trying everything, and everything they're trying ain't working. But that young girl done the unthinkable. While they're teaching children not to bully one another, they're bullying her with their phones, saying, "Why don't you kill yourself?" And she thought, her last words were, I can't take no more. And there will be a point that people will just give up. They'll just give up. That young girl shot herself, I mentioned earlier. She couldn't take no more. She gave up. And when people give up, you hear about it. Y'all just had a young girl up here.
Yeah.
She shoot herself. She gave up. And we hear the aftermath and we say, why didn't somebody do something? Why don't we do something? Why don't we show them the love of God? Why ask someone else to do what we can do? Why don't we find out that we can put feet on our cross and we can show love? I appreciate y'all taking up an offering for Robin. It's not the amount that we're giving her. It's the fact that we wanted to give her something to help her. I'll tell you, it'll be a blessing to her. We need to let, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. There needs to be no end to love. We need to love one another. When we get to heaven, you're going to find out they love one another in heaven. Well, we're never going to have heaven down here, but we need to learn how to love down here. Well, like I said, in this parable, the love of God is manifested to where no one can miss it. As a matter of fact, Jesus asked him in verse 37, or verse 36, he asked him, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He's asked him a question about this parable. And this man is so got self-righteousness, righteous indignation. He said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. We're taught of God to love one another. And we need to be about that business. As a church, if the church is of God, the Bible said God is love. That's the same way you spell God. L-O-V-E. If you're going to have a church, you know some people, their match only strikes on their box. My wife's like that. She's not here tonight. She's my wife. I guess it's okay to say this. But if you're not a church of God, she just turns you off. I mean, I'm sitting there listening to good preaching. I don't care who it is. If it's good preaching, I'll pull up the table, buddy. I might like eating watermelon preaching. I eat what I can't spit the rest out. There's some good never preaching. But if it ain't church of God, she just goes. Some people like it. I'll take it. And I'll tell you right now, just miss out on them blessings. Some people, their match only strikes on their box. They can't see beyond themselves to see anyone else. Anyway, I'm chasing rabbits now. Father, I pray that, Lord, and somehow you visit our hearts tonight. Lord, even though I really couldn't find the ground I was looking for in this message, I do pray, dear Father, tonight that, Lord, you could somehow help us in this category of love. Lord, teach us until we learn how to love one another. Lord, don't give up on us. I pray, Lord, we find ourselves each day thinking about how we ought to love one another. And may we find ourselves at least forgiving one another and forbearing one another and trying, Lord, I pray to pray one for another. Teach us, Lord, the things of God. Lord, we'll just thank you and praise you. I do believe, Lord, this message was from God, and I believe you'll do whatever needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand tonight, please.
Page 51.
I don't know how the message come to you. But if there is something tonight you need to do, well, I certainly welcome you doing whatever you need to do. Far away from God, now I'm coming home. Of sin, so long I trod. Lord, I'm coming. That's where it's at. Coming home. Something you need to do tonight, God already knows. He'll just acknowledge you. He'll just come tonight. I'll promise you this, you and God can get some victory tonight. But now, I guarantee you, God's dealing with you about something. As a preacher, I know one thing, God doesn't give a man a message for naught. I don't know exactly how the Word of God come to you tonight. I just know one thing, I needed a message. I done my business with God. What about you tonight? You need to do something tonight?
I'm tired
of sin. Are you tired of sin tonight? God's got a plan. Oh, trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Come on! Coming home. Coming home. Evermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Thank you, Brother Melvin. I don't know how the Word of God come to you tonight. I wish I had a microphone to address the world. I believe we're failing in this category. And I believe we're failing miserably in the category of love. Maybe somebody's got a word in your heart tonight. Certainly don't want to pump the well, but if you've got a word in your heart tonight, I certainly welcome. If not, we'll be dismissed. Go on.
I love the Lord tonight. I praise His holy name. You know, I was talking earlier about how people... they just need God at certain times.
Amen.
You know, I know God in the bad times, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And at least in the good times, they're just living good. But when it comes down to the bad, you know, they'll live for God, and they won't live for Him in the good times.
Right.
But they'll live for Him in the bad times. Mm-hmm. But once He eases things up on them and everything, they'll say, okay, take your suitcase, leave now. I don't need you now.
Bless your mind.
I've got to have God every second of my life.
Amen. In Him we live,
and
we have our being.
I love Him.
Amen.
And without Him, I'm nothing.
Bless your heart.
And He's the only one that can lead me through this world.
Amen.
It's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. But I'd give anything that people would stop looking at other people, their lives. You better think about your soul, because you're going to be the one that stands there before Him. And He's going to tell you to enter or depart one.
Right.
And I want to hear Him say enter.
Amen.
I love Him tonight, and I praise His holy name.
Bless you, Molly. What a testimony.
Eddie, I just thank the Lord for another day of life. Every day that I live, every morning I wake up, and every evening when I go to sleep.
Amen.
It's a blessing.
Amen.
Because life is short. Life is uncertain.
Yeah.
True.
We don't have the promise of another day.
So absolutely.
I just thank the Lord for another day that He's let me live and have the privilege of being in this house again today.
Amen.
And feel His presence.
Amen.
And know that He's still near.
Amen.
He's not far away.
Not very far.
The Bible said just reach.
Yeah.
Reach out and feel for
Him. Amen. That's
He's
right.
Close, isn't
it? And we're very far, many one of us.
Right.
The Bible said we'll find
very
Him if we
nice.
Fell after Him. Have you felt after God? You won't have to feel too far. That's what Brother Barton is talking about. He's on hand. He's there. He's there for you. And He's there because He loves you. Who else tonight? I believe there's something tonight needs to be done, and I ain't trying to provoke no one, but I believe there's something tonight needs to be done, but I'll leave it up to you. I've done my part. If we're done tonight, we'll be dismissed. If we're not done, that's your part. I gave my testimony 25 years ago, even though I didn't know what a testimony was. I turned around and I said, I love everybody in here. And it's still true.
You know, I love everybody, but there's a lot of people that play that I don't want.
Yeah.
I love their soul, but I
don't like the way. I told my granddaughter one time, I said, honey, you're hard to love. I love you anyway. She makes pretty big demands. But I love her anyway. And love will, it'll put you at a disadvantage sometimes. It'll cause you to do some things you wouldn't normally do. Love will get you through anything. Love sure will. I feel like somebody would say something, but if not, we'd be dismissed.
George, you're getting great, getting messages now. There's some good food in that message.
Amen.
And I'm hoping it'll help me grow more. You know.
Bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always got room for growth, you know. I'm not grown yet.
Same here, brother. Same here. I have to admit, love challenges me, but it's the right kind of challenge. It's the area I need challenging in. It really is. If I ever learn to love like Him, I do. The last time I say, Lord, open my eyes, I can see like You see. Open my ears, I can hear like You hear. And open my heart, that I can love like You love. The Bible talks about being conformed to His image.
Sometimes, yes, you need to see more of their needs instead of the faults, you know. Other people, you know.
I meant to mention this. My memory is so pitiful, I couldn't remember it. But me and my pastor one time, a young girl got saved, and she stayed in church quite a while, and she got to dropping out. And one night, she just didn't even come. And she didn't come the next night, and Rick got mad. And I went with him. We were both in the wrong spirit. But when we got to the house and knocked on the door, we left in a different spirit. She met us at the door living in a literal hell. I mean, breaking furniture, you could hear it. And she said, I'm sorry. And she said, I've not been able to come. I wanted to come. And we didn't say a word. We just said, we just wanted to come by and check on you. And we left. We was about that tall. And I remember Rick making testimony. He said, I didn't realize the hell she was living in was keeping her from the blessing of God. You just don't never know what some people are going through. She wanted to be there. She had a husband. I'll tell you what, buddy, should have been took out and shot. He really should have. He wasn't much of a husband. But she was faithful to him in their marriage. Kind of like that woman there that had that husband. Trying to think, Nabal, I think that was his name. And David ended up marrying that woman, Abigail, I believe was her name. But she made a statement about her husband. She said, he's such a man of Baal or Beal or something like that. And a lot of women have husbands like that. Are we done? All right, I'll shut up. Brother Anthony dismisses us for the prayer tonight. Yes.